or pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I gotta tell you, Dallas, Texas, so I'm an hour behind what I normally am. And I was in a pretty good mood. Short night's sleep. You know how that goes. And then I walked down here and setting up the studio here in the center of this hotel that we're in. And they got stinking CNN on, and you can't turn it off. Right? And it's propaganda after but I'm going to try to be a good boy, good mood today. Got Mark Sullivan with me. We're going to dive into there. I want to, before I get rolling too deep in today's show, you know, I'm speaking at 9 o'clock this morning. I'm tipping off the event here in Dallas. And I was just telling some of the guys before we came on the air, I'm encouraged by this program, this presentation that Mike's putting on here, The Watchman. I've been to a lot of them. This is the fifth one they've had here in Texas. And I always run a risk of speaking my mind, but that's always what I do. And I've always kind of felt a little bit, 14 dead. I mean, come on, I'm looking up on the screen, 14 dead from the coronavirus in the United States, 14 dead. So anyway, I always feel like I'm a little bit a fish out of water because, folks, I believe in biblical prophecy. I follow biblical prophecy, but I don't live it. You know what I'm saying? I don't live it. I don't get up in the morning and see if Jupiter is aligned with Mars. You know, it doesn't really matter to me. And I don't get up every day and trace the steps of the Jews in Israel. I just don't do that stuff. I look out there, I see what's going on. And I say, man, I better get to work. I better do something here in the good old U.S. of A. Because look what's going on everywhere else. And this conference here is called the Remnant Warrior Conference. I'm sorry my eyes are so dark in here. I didn't get much. I could do this. Yeah, there, I look more hip. I'll do that. Remnant Warrior Conference. And it is that. It is that. And the whole focus of this conference is, all right, now what are we going to do? That's what I like. Jamie Waldron's here. He's going to rock this place. These people don't have any idea.
Amen.
What they're going to hear from
him.
Because I was telling Mark, you guys have been in the room with him, and I'm telling you, he exudes Christianity. When he speaks the word of God, and it comes out every pore in his body, and it's manly, active, get off your butt Christianity. These folks, they don't get what's going on. We get Kevin Shipp here. Some of you know who he is. Some of you don't know who he is. He's a former CIA agent. We've got some remnant warriors here, people who want to try to get some stuff done. That's the focus of our ministry. That's it. It's the nuts and bolts of what we do. I kick it off at 9 o'clock. What do you think I titled my talk this morning? You got it. Something's happening here. We don't get it. I'm just telling you. I can't believe the number of people that just don't have even an inkling still of what's going on. And it's like when somebody said it, man, it was you, Mark, or somebody else said it. It's like a seek and rescue mission. We're on a seek and rescue. Rather than trying to convince the world, I'm trying to find the ones who get it and open their eyes, whose eyes are already open, and continue to open their eyes and plug them in with others who get it. We're on a seek and rescue mission. And I was amazed last night in one of the brief little meetings we had, a pre-meeting last night, how many people in that room were here for the first time. We've done 5 of these here in Dallas. About 80% were here for the first time. So looking forward to a really, really profitable, I don't mean it that way, just a great weekend, great weekend. And pardon me if I don't get, no one making me feel bad. I ain't worried about no virus. I'm just telling you, I ain't worried about no virus. And I'm glad people are keeping up on it. I'm glad people are doing research on it. Thank God for them. But listen, I couldn't care less. I ain't scared of no ghost, right? Ghost, I'm not afraid of no virus. I'm not afraid of a virus, all right? But we have people here who've canceled because they were afraid of it. And I'm in the Lord's hands. We're all in the Lord's hands here, right, folks?
and the fear mongering that's going on. I'm not talking about you, Larry. Larry's got some great statistics. He's been following stuff. The fear is just, I mean, it's...
We're watching it now on the Clown News Network.
They're blaming Trump for the virus is Trump's fault, right? Trump's
watching
fault.
It now.
So we're watching it all. And I think that we, of all people, Mike Kerr said something yesterday. I'm going to get you in here a second, Mark. Mike Kerr said something. We, of all people, Christians, we shouldn't be panicked. We shouldn't be spreading fear. We, of all people, now's a great time to be able to minister. And I saw in Columbus, Ohio, they have what's called the Arnold Classic. Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to Columbus. He's done it like 18 years. Oh, yeah. It's called the Arnold Classic. 250,000 people from around the world come to Columbus, Ohio this weekend for the Arnold Classic. And what do you suppose? They canceled it. They canceled it 4 days before it tips off. Do you have any idea how many, what do they call those guys who sell stuff? My brain went dead. Vendors? I've ordered hot dogs and hats and T-shirts and tennis shoes and keychains. Yeah, do you have any idea how many people have invested unbelievable amounts of money into this Arnold Classic? 250,000 people. And the Ohio Department of Health made the call, no Arnold Classic. Oh, my goodness. I saw Arnold himself trying to justify why it was open. Anyway, Mark Sutherland's with me. And I always enjoy seeing Mark. In fact, I ought to have him become more of a regular guest on us, because we here in America, we think we're the cat's meow, don't we? Huh? The world begins and ends right here at the borders. It starts, if it ain't happening in America, it ain't happening. And I got a conversation last night. I'm going to just kind of turn Mark here loose for a minute, let him talk about whatever's on his heart in regards to the UK. But I said, hey, Mark, what's going on with that prince? What's going on with that one? He said, oh, Coach, you don't have Mark Sutherland. Mark, come on in and talk to you don't have to get up here like me, Mark. We folks, listen, our sound, that's why I'm kind of close, because we're in the hotel lobby here. And so the background noise, I'm trying to cut it out. Go ahead, Mark.
I think the first thing I'd like to say, Coach, is the fact that back in the UK, we are having our own General Flynn moment. As you know, on the 12th of December last year, Boris Johnson was elected as our prime minister.
Are you hearing him okay, or do I need to give him a microphone?
Okay, I'll speak up. So as you know, so on the 12th of December, Boris Johnson won the election.
We don't know that.
Well, I'm just telling you. Okay.
So don't say as we know, because we're Americans. We don't know that.
I know that the whole of the World Series revolves around you, because you're the only country that actually participates in the World Series. So I just thought I'd make that little dig. But so he won the election with an 80-seat majority, and which meant that on the 31st of January, we finally left the European Union.
Yeah.
And we have to negotiate a trade deal by the December.
And now, hang on a minute, Mark, because how long ago did you guys vote to exit?
We voted on June the 23rd, 2016, at 17 million.
So 4 years.
Yeah,
it took
4 years. 17,410,752 people with a majority of over a million have had a fight with their own government for 4 years, where 75% of the MPs did not want to leave the EU. So we have been fighting our own swamp. You have a swamp over here that President Trump revealed. We have been fighting our own swamp.
The original one.
We go back to 1776. Our own swamp. Our own swamp was revealed then. And now we are having our own General Flynn moment. We look at what's happened to Michael Flynn, and God willing, that is all going to be turned around, because Sydney Powers is doing an incredible job. What do you mean, Mark? Well, we see the fact that over back home, we've got our Home Secretary, Priti Patel, under attack. They want to get the left.
What's a Home Secretary?
The Home Secretary is like in charge of homeland security,
right,
in that sense, in charge of laws, in charge of our borders, etc.
Deep state.
Yeah, well, in one sense, but in charge of our borders. So they are on about trying to get her out. Now there's an article that came out yesterday saying there's, you know, the Muslim, yes, I'm going to go there. The Muslim Council of Britain is saying there's 300 people within the Conservative Party, other people that we need to address. So let's go back to the Priti Patel situation. The rumor is that the reason why the civil service and others are not happy with her is because of the fact that there is a report that needs to come out in regard to the grooming gangs and what's happened in Oldham, etc., up and down our country.
What's a grooming gang?
The grooming gang is where the, unfortunately, young girls have been groomed, have been sexually assaulted, and that majority of those assaulted, those particular gangs and passed around, are of men of a Pakistani extraction, and that is where
Muslims,
they come
from. Muslims grooming.
In regard to following Islam, right? In regard to following Islam. And as I have said and we say, we want these Muslims to become Christians. It's when people are then following the ideology of Islam, then we're turning around and going, we need to raise that issue. We need to discuss this from a historical point of view.
But they're not doing that. They won't discuss it.
Well, they won't discuss that. And what's happening is that it's then accusing us of being Islamophobic and all.
Oh, we know how that works. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
How that works.
Yep.
So if we then go to 1683, we go back to the fact that the Ottoman army was stopped at the gates of Vienna. And then we talk about the fact that why do we now call it the West and why do we now call it the East?
We don't know any of that. But go ahead.
Well, because at one point, the whole of Europe, the whole of the world is then Christian. It's Christian. So then you have Islamic armies. Prophet Muhammad, as they say, then appears. We then creates as he's trying to create a spiritual movement, coming out of Medina, going into Mecca. And within a short period of time, after not being able to convert Jews at that time within the historical economic hubbub of civilization at that point, then starts to go, I'm going to use violence. So we then go to 1090, where the Pope turns around and says, look, Jerusalem has been overtaken. Are you going to leave all your fellow Christians like that? We have then had jihadist acts from five centuries before that. Then they whip out bums and have a go at us over crusades, 5, 6, 7 crusades. Whereas all of this violence that has built up to that, we then go in Jerusalem, we then take Jerusalem back.
All over Christianity.
Right.
What it was,
we then take Jerusalem back. We have Jerusalem for 100 years. And then Saladin comes in and takes it back. And Jerusalem is then not taken back until 1967 in regard to that war at that time. Coach, one thing I want to say is this, is that we need to learn from history. I know you were joking and saying that from 1776, that's only when your history about actually existed.
That's when the world started.
That's when the world started, according to you. But your history goes back. We then have to look at the formation of your country. Why did that come about? Because the Puritans are fleeing religious persecution in Europe.
Ding, 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 ding,
right.
Ding.
Look at this. So then we'd come right up today. And you are all watching, you may be watching the programs, you're looking at this, you go back to 2015, and you look at the leader of Germany then, of course, she's still there, Merkel, Angela Merkel, bringing in mass migration in regard to Germany, and we see all signs welcoming people and all the rest. Okay, but let's just distinguish. If you're then bringing an ideology in that is a political
is
of takeover, if you are naturally following that political movement, then there is going to be an outward play of that. And you may be saying, well, why is that going on in Europe? Well, then if you turn around and say that if you have an Arab leader access with the EU, with the Palestinian Authority, which has always been embedded, you then have an anti-American expression, you then have an anti-Israel expression, you turn around and say that the reason why there's all this aggro in the Middle East, we blame the Americans, we blame Israel. Now, there's an amazing book, which I have here, Eurabia by Batayor. It's not about me being clever. It's about the fact that we need to read these things and understand the history.
Those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it.
Precisely. Precisely. So that is why all of this is playing out politically. And then it meant that they will not recognize anti-Semitism in the early 2000s. It meant in 2003, when your then president, Junior Bush, is then asked France to say, could you now designate Hamas as a terrorist organization? No, we will not do that. So all of these things historically have gone on. And the reason why we've got this massive punch up as Rupert Darwell says in a brilliant book called Greed Tyranny, and bring it back. And that's why your country is profoundly important, because if America goes down, then the whole of Western civilization goes down. And what is in the way is this little paper, or is actually this massive paper, which is your constitution. Your constitution is in the way of a totalitarian takeover over the world. That is what is actually in the way, and now that look, is what's going on.
I'm sorry, look what walked up here. There's some money in the thing, Mike. Look at this here, Michelle. We just saw you. I'm telling you,
we're just
a woman
in the double.
Here
who is your double? That's your double.
Yeah,
we're introduced.
It's amazing. Didn't she look pretty?
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Is that her, Coach? Is that her?
On the huddle, and girls too.
This is my wife. The other girl looks just like my wife. Yeah. Michelle's going to go set up.
We're putting together. We're putting together.
Yeah.
Like
so,
sisters.
Morning, sweetheart. Good to see you. So listen. So again, can I tell you the truth? Is anybody out there saying, "Who cares, Mark? This is America."
Well, I had that discussion. I had that discussion last night. I had that discussion with dear friends of mine last night when I say to them, is there anyone else that you know within your people group who are awake? And they turn around and go, no, which I find frightening. Mm. On the one level, I find frightening. And they said they've got other friends, I'm not going to name them, who say, well, we're not really care. It's everything fine. The NFL's on. We can watch our football. We can go on bread and circuses. You know, I think it's just we're worried about this virus, but it doesn't matter. This is America. Well, guys, we desperately, desperately need you. We want you to have strong borders. It's what you actually stand and all the other things that you stand for in regard to your constitution and all the rest. But you have been spooned out from the inside. Mm. If we turn around and
that's
go,
a good term. That's a good
from
term.
The creation.
Like
of,
ice cream.
Yeah, you've been
down
spooned
ice cream
out. You've been hollowed out. From the creation of the Federal Reserve and all the rest. You've been hollowed out from that point. And the fact that as long as the ATMs are there, as long as CNN is on, as long as everything seems to be going along and it's all really, really nice, then people
are
going,
how does it bother me?
How does it bother me?
It doesn't bother me.
Well, things could be about to change.
Amen. Amen.
And what is really interesting, and I am not downplaying this virus, not at all, but what's really interesting and I find sad is the hysteria that it then creates. And we have to put certain things in context. We've had other viruses, etc. before.
Is the same hysteria in the UK, Mark,
yes,
over the virus?
Yes, there is. And sadly, we look at what's been happening in Italy and all the rest. It's a classic, isn't it? This virus has just shown a classic of why countries do need borders, or why we do need security.
Is this the death of open borders, you think?
Well,
go ahead.
I don't know. We need to have a chat with Mr. Soros about that.
Right.
But the fact that all of that discussion is happening at home in regard to, well, no, it's jumping from one border to another. And also certain, when I flew into Texas, here they said, have I been to China recently? I went, no. Have you been to Iran? No. Why those kind of discussions or planes are not being stopped going into Canada from China is another discussion that we haven't really got time to discuss, Mr. Trudeau. but this is very, very serious. So when you say to me, right, so why don't Americans, you know, why don't you? Oh, it doesn't bother me. You are a massive, massive nation. Out the UK fits into Texas 2¾ times. That puts it in perspective.
Say that again.
The UK fits into Texas, which is one state, 2¾ times.
The entire UK.
That's right. Fits into Texas.
Almost three times.
So to give you another perspective, if you then take the state of Montana, which I believe has 1 million people living in Montana, but you've got twice as many cattle in Montana as people, right?
So they can't vote, though.
So they can't vote, but let's just pray that the Democrats don't weaponize them too. Well, actually, they're trying to do that. It's called Agenda 21 and Agenda 30. So we push people off the land. That's another subject. All these things are going on, and that's where it's this hollowing out, because people are not informed. If you are then, you know, educating your children in a state school under Common Core and all this, it's your civics have not been taught properly. May I say, I'm from the UK, in your schools properly for the last, 30, 35, maybe 40 years.
At least.
It's not taught properly. Which
we think we're a democracy, right?
even Fox News, Coach.
Yep.
I mean, when they say that word,
it's not by accident either, right?
It's outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
And they're not mentioning the Electoral College, and thank God for your Electoral College in 2016, because 63 million of you voted for President Trump. And without that Electoral College, then all your smaller states like Indiana and all the rest would suffer.
Yep.
Canada desperately needs an Electoral College. That's another subject.
There's some Canadians here I was talking to last night, too. Folks, listen, we are the hub, right? We were the hub, but we cannot forget from whence we have come, right? And in the fullness of time is this thing. We live in cycles, right? So I was talking to somebody last night, Mark, about the fourth turning.
Yes.
That there's something happening right now where things are changing. As I said, my theme this morning is something's happening here. Now, hang on a second, because I'm going to take you a different direction, Mark. I should look at Mark as I ask you. How do you reject the crown? How do you say, hey, I'm not going to be part of the royal family? My name's Harry. I've married this. I make him mad when I got all kinds of emails, Mark, because I said it's about a pure bloodline and she ain't it, right? Yeah. Are you with me on that, right?
No.
Oh, people couldn't, they went crazy. But so we have someone who's not even a pure bloodline that comes in, and here they go. They'll get that right wing watch will get mad at me. Even though I say poison the bloodline. By poison, I mean not black, but somebody of a different ethnicity comes into it, poisons the bloodline. As Jamie showed up, and we don't get the significance of it to where Harry says, "Sorry, I'm going to go be a Canadian. I'm going to go. I don't want to work here anymore." What in
is
the?
It's actually on a personally, you know, with respect. It's not about her particular background or anything. What it's about is the fact that you are born into a particular family, a role, you then marry into that, and you then knew exactly what you were walking into and your role within the royal family. Personally, I am not really I've had enough. Let's just say it how it is. I've had enough of this woke couple, as we call it, this most politically correct. So we'll go around as Piers Morgan. Yes, I've mentioned his word. He seems to be fairly changing at the moment. He gets certain things, of course, wrong in regard to gun rights and in regard to climate change.
But he is coming around.
But he has absolutely lambasted them, quite rightly. So
she's an infiltrator, right?
But we go around saying, you know, climate change, you mustn't use planes and all the rest. But we get on a private jet paid for by Elton John, etc. And then we fly around the world. We are fed up. We're not being lectured by these people. But what we've had, we now have Greta Thunberg, you know, going into the EU, telling us how we should live and all this.
Yeah.
I've had enough of it. This is all deliberate wokeness, etc. Mm. And that's why I don't have time for it.
Okay, so Mark, what are you trying to say to we Americans?
What I'm trying to say is that we need you. What I'm trying to say is that we are in the biggest global battle of our life. This is happening here, even though many people may not understand that. There are more people in this country that would be awake because there are 320 million of you that are legal. The illegals, I can't totally put a figure on, maybe another 20 million, that are awake. So that's within numbers. What we need is connections. We need you to understand what's happening in Canada and to pray for Canada. We need to understand what's happening in Europe and to pray for Europe. We need to understand what's happening in Australia. This is a worldwide battle, as I said earlier. This totalitarian takeover, this technocracy is coming at you, as Steve Quayle says, this asymmetric warfare is coming at you left, right, and center. When we look at what's happening in China, we look at what's happening technocracy-wise there, and the control of people, that is what they want to bring in here.
And their goal is
a complete utter global government.
You guys listening? They're trying to eliminate the impact of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Yeah.
You can call it racism, folks. You can say whatever you want to, but that is the goal. And Mark, who's across the pond, says, dudes, wake up!
Well, when we've reached a point where in Australia a Liberal MP turned around and said, well, we've got a load of white cars that we use for civic business. We now need to, we shouldn't have the colour white of white cars. We need to change the colour because this looks, talks about oppressiveness and all the rest. This is the kind of lunacy that we have in regard to transgender.
It's demonic though, Mark.
It is. But the Bible warns about this. The Bible warns that, you know, that this whole twisting, this whole delusion. And I will say this, Coach, there seems to be, and this is an indictment upon us, there seems to be more people awakening up outside of the church who may not call themselves Christians that are actually waking up
that's what,
inside
that's it.
The
that's
church.
That's the way I see it,
and
man.
I find this outrageous. And of course, over here, people may not understand this at home, which is your whole 5013C, and using that as an excuse to say, well, I can't speak out because it's going to upset my $500,000, you know, salary, and I'll have to get rid of this car, and then we can't have this building project, and we can't upset people on Sunday morning and politically saying that actually, here's the key thing. So we see what, 28 people die from the coronavirus, but in America, there's 63 million abortions have gone on.
Yeah, no, we don't
care. What are we actually caring?
Texting and driving. More people are dying from texting and driving.
What
are
we actually caring? And I'm not playing down the virus, but what are we actually caring about? So what I'm saying to the American people, addressing the American people, what we're saying is please look around at what wake up. Look around at what's going on. Think beyond parochialism and think beyond and start looking worldwide.
Globally, because folks, we live in a global economy. We know that the new world, we get all that stuff where our impact is global. It will, what we do. So listen, I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm going to gag him for a minute. And anybody have anything to say at this point? Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
I just lambasted the Churchill County Commission yesterday. And it's the political environment is what I'm referring to, is the backstabbing, what they do to deter from telling the truth about God, getting to come back to God, and understand that the influence of the elites through the ideology of the power of Satan is causing all this havoc. And people just don't want to wake up. But
go ahead, Jeff. It's everywhere, though, Jeff. But hang on, Jeff, I want to piggyback off that. The people controlling the world are the stinking Brits, right? Isn't that what's going on? Them Rothschilds and the right? They're from York. What's going on with that, Mark?
Well, historically, if you then look at Davos, we then expand this in regard to the elites. Yeah, we can go round in regard to certain banking and all the rest.
The Bar Association.
But it's embedded. If you then look culturally at what's going on over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's embedded. If we turn around and go, if you look at some of your politicians, they're then going to Congress, you know, with $100,000 in the bank, and then come out with $54 million.
Something happening here, right?
This is worldwide. This is massively worldwide. But Coach, if we turn around and say, right, so Ephesians 6 says that we are in the biggest spiritual battle of our lifetime.
Worldwide.
So let's just say two things. So go back to 1989, the wall in communism comes down. Jump then, come back to the 1800s, we then look at Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin had a right-hand man called Henry Huxley, Henry Huxley, they called his bulldog. Henry Huxley was Aldous Huxley, who wrote The Brave New World's grandfather.
Really?
What I'm saying is, as we look at spiritually, how these things join up for a long period of time, I'm not being clever. I'm just saying that other people connect the dots.
Right.
We need to connect these dots because the enemy has been in this for a long, long time. And what's happened is that spiritually we have not paid attention. And so people think, you know, the Illuminati and all this is a joke. It's not a joke. We look at Adam Weishaupt. We look at all this in regard to Masonry. This is real. And what happens is these principalities and powers are exactly the same, but suddenly they're slightly morphed. The color was slightly changed. And we then think that going on a Sunday, you know, singing various choruses, singing Kumbaya, and grabbing our guitars, that this is the answer.
We're going to ward it off.
We are going to ward it off.
With praise and worship music,
we're going to ward it off. But actually, as the Bible says, you know, we are in a spiritual battle, and we have global. To put our armor on, and it's global, and we have to engage. And actually, it comes down to this, is that very often, the word remnant, I have this with a few people at home. If we say the word remnant, I'm being a member of a cult. It's some private hobby. You think you're better than us. You have got to be joking. Mm. Do you think that it's easy to talk about any of this? Do you think this is easy? Do you think that people are going, no, you're upsetting my life. You're upsetting my paradigm. I do not want to engage with you on this. And in fact, I think you're a complete, you know, nutter. Where's your tinfoil hat? You're now a racist.
It's
you're
everywhere.
A bigot.
It's, the same,
it's everywhere. And that's why we have to join together. And yes, our biggest challenge, Coach, and I would say exactly the same. Our biggest challenge, what they do is they interpret our passion with anger.
I just talked about that on my show the other day. People right. think I'm angry. I said, no!
The passion. If we do not have passion, we are men. It's like stand up. Why do you know, it's stand up, as Jamie Wilden would say. Stand up, soldier. Stand up.
Amen.
You know, you have to. We have to engage.
Hey, so, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we should stop singing and listen.
Maybe we should stop singing and listen. I think you're right, Jack. But I'm not so sure that just listening is enough, right? I'm just not sure. And I'm finding out more and more, as I think Mark would probably attest to. The problem is people really, those who are woke, the guys in here, Jack, you've been in this battle for decades, right? Are people more woke? Are they more woke now than they were, Jack? Are people more awake now? I mean, what do we do? How do we take this wokeness and do something with it? That's the billion dollar question, I think.
Let me take somebody else's words here, and you'll know who it is when I say this. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers.
Yeah. We don't even know what that means, Larry. That's just words. It's only words and words
Coach, I just want to say this, that on the other hand, like corporate worship from, you know, people really, really taking that seriously and using that as a tool of battle is really, really important. Mm-hmm. If we all got together as a dear friend, as Push Forward, if we then got together for, say, like an hour a day where everyone connected and we were really worshiping our God, that is powerful. But using it as a subculture to actually not engage is not the answer. We've created this subculture.
See, listen, don't miss this, folks. I hear this, well, I won't say a lot, but over the past, I've heard it a lot. People, when they go to church and then they go home after and you talk to them on the way home, they said, oh, I just felt the Lord so much in praise and worship. See, it's all about us and our feelings and all of it. And we have taken Christianity and we've inward focused Christianity. I wrote a commentary this week that I didn't, by the way, thanks Mike Heath for doing a show. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike, I should have said that earlier, for doing a great job yesterday. But because I didn't do the show yesterday, I didn't read my commentary, which is about the fear of God. See, we have got this whole thing totally and completely upside down. And I believe if we were sitting in the Lord's chair, if we were sitting high and we were looking low, the Lord would be asking us, boys, how did you let this get so upside down? How did this happen? I came down, I put my son on that cross, I sent him down to destroy the works of the devil. I said, all power has been given unto you both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the earth. And he's sitting up there scratching his head, saying, what is this down here? That's what I think. Anybody? Go ahead, Mark.
I'm saying, but the fear of the Lord, you know, it's the fear of the Lord.
We don't fear the Lord. We don't fear.
You know, teaches man wisdom, and humility comes before honor.
Coach.
Yes, Jack.
One of the things that what you just said just sparked an old memory of an experiment that was done. If they put glasses on you that turn everything upside down so that your vision is upside down, if you walk around with that and don't take those glasses off, for about a week, all of a sudden your brain flips it over.
Hmm.
That's where we are. Everything is upside down, but we're still walking around like it's all right side up.
And Jack, I walk in this hotel and they got CNN on there, nonstop CNN. And it's nonstop propaganda, right? And we're having a hard time woken. Hank, shut up. I know you want to get in here. Somebody, come on. Somebody else. Audience participation here, Mark.
It's important.
So we keep them engaged. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach, the churches teach humility and tolerance.
Well, I said that God, Jesus Christ, is the most intolerant God of all time. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there ain't none of you that are going anywhere unless you go through me. That's pretty intolerant, isn't it, boys? Huh? It's not, despite what the message that's being taught in our churches, the message of inclusion and diversity is being taught in our churches, and that is counter the gospel. The gospel's very, very, no one comes in here except through me, right? He's the one to tell, I'll have nothing to do because, with the unfruitful works
because,
of darkness.
Because the world has invaded the church instead of the church invading the world. We are rife with that at home. And I want to just quickly say this. You've got, I think, around about 365,000 churches in America. I think Jim Garlow wrote this book about it. And when a survey is done and they say to people, say to pastors who will all agree, 90% of them agree, say there's a problem with America. And then, right, so why are you going to speak about it and do something about it? And 90% of them say no.
Yeah, yeah.
You've heard that before.
Oh, my God.
You've
heard that before. We stinking live it. And no one's angry.
We have exactly the same at home. But what's happening is, and with us leaving the EU, we suddenly realize this huge spiritual battle that's gone on. Politically, the oppression that we have been under since 1973, if not since 1955. And I'm beginning to lay this out. We start to see the principalities and powers and how things have been twisted politically. This is what we are dealing with.
So the gospel is not dead in England, in the UK, but it's on life support, is it not?
I would say, I think it definitely, it's a brilliant way of saying it, that it is on life support. But there are many, many people, who are not going to churches, who are outside certain churches. Many people that do
go to
churches.
Huh?
Those of us that don't are then called, you know, you're under no one's authority, you're irresponsible. Basically the same.
So they said, Coach, are you part of a local fellowship, Coach? Who's mentoring you? Right? That's the mentality of the church, see?
Absolutely.
Get into a church where somebody will control you. I don't know why they don't just say that. That's what they're saying.
If you
were in a church and you had a pastor and an elder board, you would be under control and you wouldn't be doing these crazy things on the show.
Also, what happens is that I then don't read scripture where it says, read the Bible, you know, like act like the Bereans. Don't accept what we say. Go and read it for yourself and work it out. Yeah. But they're not saying that. They're then saying that whatever I say, you must do. I just quickly tell you this story. So a dear friend, a Facebook friend of mine who's over here then messaged me the other day and said, oh, Mark, can you send me anything about George Soros? Just giving the background to him and what he does. Because I posted a comment that was anti-George Soros on my Facebook site. And my pastor criticized me for doing that, saying it was an unloving
thing. Not
Christian. Now, fortunately, she's now left that church. She is an informed person. The pastor is not informed. I am shocked. I come back to this. I am shocked by how ill-informed on both sides of the pond people are. And then we're not being clever. And then when we're informed, they criticize us for being informed.
Go back to sleep, will you? What's up with you, Mark?
So when you go and stand outside a certain house in Chappaqua going, I'm informed, this is what this woman has done and all these crimes. And everyone goes, no, that's not true.
Because
we believe CNN.
We believe
ABC.
If she had done all that, she would be in jail. Because she didn't. Comey cleared, right? All right. It's nuts. Come on in here, somebody. Hello. It's a little bit of a delay. That's what happens.
Don't worry. I'm just getting used to it.
We're watching Allison Camerota here on TV.
And we're just seeing CNN go the Windsors and the latest thing on the Queen. Yeah. Why are you all so obsessed over here with the royal family?
I'm not.
I know you're not, but certain people are. They're obsessed with the royal family. And I say, And they said to me, so how's the Queen getting on running the country? And I said, well, she doesn't. We've dealt with that under Oliver Cromwell and Charles I, II. It's
look,
shocking.
I got to say, Kevin Van Story just comes wandering in with his truth. Sounds like, get in here, Kevin, real quick. And there's David Hawkins coming in here. They're, all the boys are showing up. Look at this guy. Huh?
All you guys in Southern Missouri, vote for Kevin.
David Hawkins, we're live and in color here, buddy. Good, good. We've been watching. So something's happening, right? Something's happening. And folks, listen, this is, oh my goodness, Jesus is King of the world, not just America. Not just America. And if we can't, if we are going to be so myopic, I think that's a proper word, I'm myopic.
Yes.
Makes me sound smart. If we are so nearsighted that we can't understand how this whole thing is playing out, and as Larry gets involved with STAB and the influence of Islam into America, and we see the seculars come in and their influence, I said to Michelle last night before I went to sleep, literally, I said to her, I said, I cannot believe my frustration is so great that Christians are so ignorant of what's going on in the world. And we saw last night, as I said in the brief meeting that we had, there are a lot of people here, again, who are Christians who don't go to church. They don't go to church. What does that tell us? And Mark, as a guy who is in the U.K., what are the churches like in the UK? Are they emptying? Are they turning them in the mosques? What's going on spiritually in the UK in regards to what we see?
Well, within certain circles, they're not discussing anything that we discuss here. They would view us as extremist, bigoted, and unloving.
The churches.
I've had some of those words said to me. You're under no one's authority. We're not discussing the real issues of what's going on. But why do we then have that phrase, the remnant? There will always be a remnant. God makes that very, the Bible makes that very clear.
Hey, Coach.
No.
Yeah.
You talk about Christians and they do this and don't do this and everything. It just dawned on me. There's three kinds of Christians in the world. You got real Christians. You have pretend Christians. And then, unfortunately, you have a lot of wannabe Christians. They're sitting in those satanic social clubs hoping they can become Christians. But when pretend Christians in a satanic social club are trying to teach wannabe Christians what to do, they're not going to become real Christians.
Well, Larry, here's what I use this scripture a lot, Mark, because this is what I see is going on in the world. The Bible says you have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such men turn away. And then it says in John, I believe, that if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So here's how I play those two things out in my own mind. Larry, those people sitting in those churches think they're saved. And there's no worse condition to be in than to think you're saved and not be, because you're not even looking to be saved. You folks, you getting what I'm saying? So if the light that is in you isn't light, if it isn't light, if the light that you have isn't really the light, you're not looking for the light. And so when Mark shows up with the light or I shine up with the light, they say, oh my goodness, stop that. Stop that. We're saved. We love everybody. We're tolerant. We're diverse. We're non-judgmental. We're all these things. Would you guys, you go around and you shine those lights, and we don't want to see that, because, right? It's a different gospel and a different Jesus. That's why Jesus himself said in that day, you listening to me? Many, many, many are going to come to me and say, Lord, in your name, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we lay our hands on the sick and see them recover? And didn't we pay all of our tithes? And didn't we not ever say anything mean about it? Didn't we, Lord, we just lived out the great model of you everywhere we went. He says, hey, sorry, boys. I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who you are. Many, the Bible says, not just a few, many who are going to say that. Yeah, Mark.
I was thinking about Larry's analogy. You know, there is a black light. And if you're in a dark room and you shine black light.
Black light.
Wow. Go on.
Yeah, isn't that the lukewarm ones?
That's why I hate it when you come on here, Mark. I never.
Isn't that the pretend ones? Isn't that the pretend ones, Larry? The black light.
Black light.
What are they lighting up with black light?
Yeah, the pretend ones. The pretend ones know they are Antichrist, and they're in charge. They lead. They guide. They make the plans for. They cook the coffee and the donuts of the satanic social clubs. But the pretend Christians know they're not Christians, and they're misleading the wannabes on purpose because they want to draw more people away from Christ because the pretend Christians are anti-Christ.
Okay, but I want to throw this in there because I think this is critical as well. I know a lot of people who I know are saved who all they think about is getting other people saved. Now, I'm cool with that. All right. I get that. But folks, our salvation is more than about just getting other people saved. That's just the beginning of the gospel. It's just the beginning. And I try to get people to open their eyes and understand if I spend all the time trying to get a guy saved, and I am, what about the evil that is right at our door that's impacting our neighbors and our neighbors' children? If I got my mind totally set on salvation, I missed the soul-y part of it. Go ahead, Mark.
Right. And here we are watching CNN right now, and they're going on about Syria. But what they're not discussing is the fact that in 2010, a pipeline goes in the wrong direction. We're not talking about so it doesn't benefit Europe. We're not talking about the fact that certain globalists say we need more regime change and we're going to go into Syria. Mm. We then have banks and all supporting this. We're then not discussing what happened in Libya. I am not defending General Gaddafi, but that society was actually perfectly fine. People had a very good standard of living. And we then have Hillary Rodham Clinton going, we came, he died, ha, ha, ha. And we bombed the crap out of
That's
it.
That's right.
Because this is deliberate. And then we start creating mass migration and people movement. But the church responds and goes, yeah, but we've got to care for these people. This is wrong. But we're not looking at why NATO was asked to bomb all these people. And then your brave men and women from your country are then following the commands of the military industrial complex and go, we have to invade this, we have to do this, and we have to do this. There is massive things evil behind all this to cause the chaos deliberately. But CNN, of course, is not discussing this. Other TV channels will not discuss this. Hi, Mike. Will not discuss any of this at all. They will not discuss the cause and effect.
Yep.
So suddenly, then we have Russia supporting Syria, blah, blah, blah. We then look at what's happening in Turkey, what's happening in Europe. This is all deliberate. So why then, I believe, in New York in November 2001 event, we have to practice just in case we have a pandemic.
Mm.
I believe that went on. Hillary, you know, the Bill Gates and all that involved in this. What does that say? Oh, no. These events are not going on. This is not going on a wider
Psalm
scale.
2, the kings of this earth conspire against the Lord and his anointed. So folks, it's more than salvation.
So then if we then go back to your mate, you know, Clinton, her husband running in his second run for office, there is a rumor that the Chinese put a load of money into his campaign.
Wow.
What is all that about, everybody? In other words, follow the money, follow all the geopolitical chess game, as L.A. Marzulli talks about, and all these pieces that are going on.
Kings of this earth.
Absolutely. You have then ignored that. But we've all ignored that. I woke up in 2010. I have to say that. I woke up in 2010 massively to all of this and been down this rabbit warren ever since. And I'm not blaming your brave men and women who serve in your forces and not back home. But we have to look at the geopolitical stuff. It's a bit like us being taken into the EU in 1973. As soon as we went in there, we lost the sovereignty of our nation. Any nation that is not in charge of its own money, is not in charge of its own laws, is not in charge of its own borders, and is not in charge of its own language, is not a nation anymore. So when you want to create the federal states of Europe, that's why they nicked the Betty Ross flag, and you want to create that, then they deny that they want to create their own army, which they which they do, the federal states of Europe. They want to deny all that. This is history, and history, of course, is written by the victors, Mr. President.
Because listen, the kings of this earth conspire. Who do they conspire against? The Lord. Why would they conspire against the world? The Lord, because, folks, it is for control of the world. Remember this, God so loved, past tense, the world. And now he says to us, love not the world, right? But the conquest or the battle for control of the world still goes on, even though Jesus himself said it is finished, right? For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might annihilate, destroy the works of the devil. Jesus hangs on the cross and I did it, boys, I did it. And now the game's already been won, but we have to execute the battle plan and clear the deck.
To come in a slightly different viewpoint and in defense of America, right? So the Puritans come over from Europe. They flee religious persecution, the foundation of your nation, right? That is what then happened. And then it's turning around and going, well, we've reached this point. I said it earlier, I'll say it again, that the only piece of paper written in 1787, I think in September 1787, which is your constitution, that is the piece of paper, the whole document that stands in the way of a complete totalitarian takeover of the world.
They're trying to tear that baby up right now.
That is what is going on. And as we've said earlier, if you're not teaching civics and people don't understand the importance, and who am I to say, I'm from the UK, we had a little fight with you in 1776. Who am I to give you a lecture about that? But I am giving you a lecture about that, because I'm passionate about this nation and what it actually stands for. And it's, people have forgotten.
We're the kingpin, man.
Yes,
we're the kingpin.
You are. People have forgotten that, where it's the greatest experiment in self-governance by the people. People need to understand that, understand what it's about and what the foundations are. And that's why I am then passionate about that. That's why I make my particular films, Between Lambs and Lions, and the latest one, The Iris Echo, a quick plug, which is about a 22-minute warning on communism. This is what all of this is about.
Called socialism. How much time we got here? Somebody come on in here.
That document you're talking about is only 4,500 words.
That's right.
Only 4,500 words. We ought to be able to memorize it.
And it's the barrier, man. It is the barrier, the wall, the line of demarcation.
That's right.
David Hawkins wants to jump in here real quick. Go ahead, David.
When the Lord gave
speak
all,
up so they can hear you.
When the Lord gave all authority and power to us, that includes the government and as citizens. Our Constitution is written that we have inalienable rights given to us by Him.
Mm-hmm.
So we as citizens, by the power of the Constitution, have all the power that this nation needs to take it back.
That's right.
To set it right, and by the power of God, be able to take this country and basically the world back for His glory. So, guys, you know, we ought to take our take our authority, walk up to these people. You are under citizen's arrest by the power of the Constitution and by the power of God Almighty.
Execute that plan, right, Mark? We have to execute that plan. It's
been
laid out.
But when you've got globalists and people in this country, and they're calling friends of mine, when they're calling friends of mine that live here, home terrorists, because they believe in the Constitution of America.
Or God.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. They called a friend of mine who's a politician in the state of Washington, in Spokane. So this is outrageous. You know, how has that actually happened? How has that twisted round? It's because people, as someone quite rightly said, they don't understand your documents.
Amen.
They don't understand why this nation was founded what it means.
All right.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
David Hawkins David Hawkins brought up something that we got to get out there and fight. But right now, Jesus, he said it is finished. So right now, the spirits are basically banished unless we invite them in. Right now, they're not on the battlefield in this dimension. They haven't manifested. The giants aren't back. So question, do you want to take it back now while God has a restrainer? Or do you want to wait and do it whenever, if you believe they're coming back, do you want to wait until what L.A. Marzulli happens? Is that when you want to take it back?
Boy, be too late then, won't it, brother?
Well, you got a choice now. Do it now while God's restrainer's in place. Jesus says it is finished. Or you wait and put it off. Y'all can assemble later.
Oh, I'm going to make them mad, though. Or we could take that selfish approach, say, well, we'll be out of here soon anyway.
Hey,
I'm not going to do anything about it. We're about out of here.
Coach, it is now for me. I take it back every day. I take back ground everywhere I go. We have this authority, and that's exactly what David's saying. If we wait and put it on someone else and say, no, you do it, then it's never going to happen. It has to be on the individual basis.
Something's happened here. Robert, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Ready to go.
We haven't identified the enemy.
We've met the enemy, and it's us, Jack. That's what I say.
Yeah, most of the time. That's exactly right. The enemy is ignorance.
It is, absolutely. Yep. Very good point.
Go ahead, Robert. Give us your word for today, buddy.
Okay, here's March 6th. He who is filled with the indwelling Spirit of God knows that everything else residing in the temple, whether it's the church or our body, is but emptiness and vanity, self-complacency and self-love, because the old man still lives there as well. And though crucified, the old man often rises up. Okay, here's, if God is for us, you know, you could see this as a trumpet call of the remnant, if you will, distinct bugle sound. It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is at work in us, what circumstance can work against us? If the Spirit of God empowers us, what force can overpower us?
Wow.
If the victorious Son of God lives in us, why live in defeat? If we are citizens of heaven, why live as captives of the world?
That's good, isn't it?
If Jesus has bruised the serpent on the head, and the God of peace wishes to crush Satan under our feet, why do we allow the devil to hold us under his thumb?
Wow, Robert!
If Christians are called saints, why walk as sinners? If God wants to father us, why walk as prodigals? If the Spirit wants to walk in fellowship with us, why walk without him? If Christ, the hope of glory, is in us, why be gloomy?
Amen.
Maybe it is because we do not allow the Spirit to give us newness of life by teaching us how to abide in Jesus, the Word of life. Or maybe it is because Jesus is Lord of little rather than Lord of all, or no Lord at all.
Wow.
Or maybe it is because we only ran to the altar but never died on the altar so as to live in resurrection life with Him. But unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.
Thank you, Lord.
Or maybe it is because we are more concerned with living the best life now rather than dying to self and taking hold of the eternal life to which we were called.
Amen.
Maybe we are more in love with self than with the Savior, more interested in being happy than holy. Why settle for so little when we have been blessed with so much? That's what the remnant would say.
Why settle for so little when we have been blessed with so much? Is it worth fighting for, guys, girls? Is it worth fighting for? That's really the decision that we're going to have to make. And I know it flies against so much of what we see in modern Christianity, the love-only gospel, and who are you to judge, and the tolerance and the diversity. And you drive by a church and you see a sign up on the talks about everyone welcome, and you talk to pastors, and, oh, we have a diverse congregation. Blah. We are an exclusive crew. Do you understand that, folks? We're not inclusive. We're exclusive. Anybody can come. Jesus said, hey, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but it's my house. It's my house. And when you come into my house, you're going to do what I tell you to do, or you ain't coming in. exclusive Christianity, brothers. We have got to return to the heart of that gospel. Broad is the way, and narrow is the gate. Many come, but there ain't a whole lot of them to find it. We gotta bring that old message back. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Hey, God bless you. Pray for us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.